Scripture this morning is found in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." I think Pastor is going to come introduce the missionary.
Thank you, Ben. Would like to, at this time, introduce Laura Marshall to us. We had the opportunity of also meeting Peter on Friday night and yesterday for the men at the men's breakfast to meet with him for some time. He is up at Mifflinburg today at Mifflinburg Alliance Church, and we get Laura. And I am so excited to hear from her what God is doing in Uruguay. The wonderful thing about our denomination, one of the wonderful things that I enjoy about our denomination, is that for the last several years now, my family has been praying for Peter and Laura by name as we do our evening devotions together, lifting up the missionaries of our denomination, and in the rotation is Peter and Laura, and pray for them and their outreach, that God would give them encouragement, that God would provide for their needs and direct their steps. And it's always wonderful to meet these friends that you've been praying for a long time and never met before, and they get to spend some time with them and hear how God has been answering those prayers. So, Laura, will you come and share with our church what God has laid on your heart?
Good morning. You know, sometimes when we're in churches, we're enjoying the worship and all the encouragement you give us, and then I think, oh dear, now I got to get up and say something. Okay, so praise the Lord for this wonderful time of worship. Thank you so much in advance for all the encouragement that you've been to us in this short time that we've been together. It is incredible to the blessing to know that you've been praying for us, whether as a church or personally. And we've never come, but you've been a part of our ministry. You've been encouraging us. So sometimes I do share a little bit when we're on, and I think I shared Friday night. When we first went out as missionaries, we packed a lot of things in our barrels. Then we changed the suitcases, and you pack a lot to take back. You can't pack prayer, but that's probably the most important thing we can ever bring with us. So thank you for praying for us. Because that's, as I said, it's more important than all the peanut butter we can put in our suitcases, okay? So this morning, I'd like to just share with you from these verses in Matthew. And just want to paint a little bit of a picture here. As Peter and I came back last May, we came back to mid-Ohio, which has usually been where we've been living every home assignment we come back. We're not able to find a home yet. We are now living in Cleveland, but before that home in Cleveland came up, we were in mid-Ohio, staying in the basement of a friend's home. And if you go out their driveway, and you've ever been to mid-Ohio, and you look to the left and to the right, you don't see too many houses. What do you think you're going to see in mid-Ohio when you look to the left and to the right? Cornfields, bean fields, okay? I said, you know, to Peter, during the summer, people in Ohio, mid-Ohio, they don't get to see their neighbors, you know, because the corn grows, the beans grow, and then it gets all harvested, and then they see their neighbors again. So we had been traveling a bit during the summer, came back around August. When we had left in July, the corn was, you know, so high. We came back in August. The corn was very high, very tall. And as we've come back sometimes from being gone, even if you've been in the States here and there, there's just some things that kind of, you know, oh, bring you back to reality, or isn't this different? Peter asked the friends that we were staying with there, he said, Has the corn gotten taller in Ohio since the last time we were here? Or he said, or did we shrink, you know? And our friend said, well, you know what? I don't know. He said, the corn's always tall. It's been a good year. But then he said this, you know, over time, they've lived in that area many years. He said, over time, through technology and everything else, the harvest and the corn growing has gotten better. Okay, the plants are taller, there's better ears on each stalk, and the harvest is better because just over time through technology, things have gotten better in this area. So I kind of had that in my head, and a few days later, I just was thinking this. I don't always have these spiritual thoughts, okay? This just was happening, but anyway, I thought, you know, as we have served overseas in South America for many years, over time, the access and the resources that we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ have gotten better, in a sense, that we have more resources and access to the gospel, and mainly why? Because of the internet, okay? So when we first went, we would take Bibles and all these kind of things, but through the internet, people have access all over the world to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does not mean they're interested, but they have a greater access. It's easier to share that message because of the resources that we have. So in our small church there in Salto, as we come in and we're doing ministry, even we've seen this has made a change in our ministry. So in Salto there, as someone comes into our church, just as I'm sure here, and you begin to disciple them, we often would encourage them, it's important to read your Bible. And I will never forget one of the ladies in our church when we first began to disciple her. I asked her, I said, do you have a Bible in your home? And she said, you know what? What I remember about the Bible when I was growing up, it was that big book that my mom had against the kitchen door so when the wind would come along, it wouldn't shut the door. That's where the Bible was in their home, okay? In Uruguay, very easy to buy a Bible, kind of expensive, can cost $40, even a paperback version. Some people, when they get to the end of the month, they don't have $40 to have. Most of our Bible bookstores or where you can buy a Bible is in the capital city. We're 6 miles north. We don't have Amazon, but you can actually get on and get on the line and order a Bible and all this. But it takes time, costs money. But here's what we often would do in our church in Salto. Probably you guys could do it here too. Ask somebody, bring out your cell phone, get on Google, that's Google in Spanish, get on Google, look for the Bible app, download it, pick your version, and there you've got the Word of God right there in your hand. So that's what a lot of our people in our hermanos or our brothers and sisters, when they're first beginning to grow in their faith, they have the Bible on their cell phone. And so even as Peter's been sharing in his messages and studying, sometimes he would say to me, if I only had this commentary or this book, I'd be interested because I'm trying to work on this. Peter has a whole library of books, but as you probably know, one more book always is an encouragement to a pastor. So I get on the computer, I get on Amazon, and I sift through the Kindle books that I can find, and sometimes I press that click, buy this, and there it is on our Kindle there in Uruguay, and Peter's got what he needs. So overall, the access to the Word of God, to the gospel message, is easier. But we still, God is saying from these verses, we still need to go and be very present to be with people who need to know Jesus, because we are the messengers that they often need. It's neat in this video to see this theme for this year about being present with people, to be that witness face to face so that people can come to know him. You may encourage someone in their walk with the Lord because they can read a Bible or read a book online or order it from Amazon and get it. But God is still asking us to be very present to be with people. I enjoyed listening to this idea that Pastor Doug has of thinking of two people that you can share the gospel with or the good news of Jesus Christ with. And this idea that we had this morning, you know, share with someone, who was that person in your life that talked to you about the Lord? Who was that messenger that God sent to you? Maybe prayed with you, talked with you, invited you to church, got maybe a little insistent in your life, you need this, you know? Praise the Lord, that person was present in our life. In my personal life, I grew up in Western PA, Pittsburgh area. I went to West Virginia Wesleyan College in West Virginia to study nursing. And so I was studying there in my freshman room, and my freshman roommate was a girl named Pam. She was from the Philadelphia area, okay? She'd also gone to West Virginia Wesleyan. We're at our desks facing each other, piles of nursing books around. This is before all that online studying, okay? Piles of nursing books. And every once in a while, in the fall, as we would be studying, Pam would say to me, Laura, why don't we take time and just stop and do a Bible study together? Now, I had grown up in Pittsburgh always going to church every Sunday. It wasn't a church that I really knew who Jesus was, but that had been my habit, my way of going. And so I went to church every Sunday. But Pam was a Christian. And she, in talking with me, had realized that I probably didn't really know who Jesus was. I knew about God, but I didn't know about who Jesus was. So through this Bible study, she was sharing with me who God is, what was sin, who is Jesus, the cross. I didn't capture the idea. But one Friday evening, we got down to that last Bible study, and she said, Lord, let's take time and finish our Bible study. And I kind of put up the resistance. I said, not tonight. Got too much to do. And she got a little insistent, and I finally said, okay, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And, well, that turned into about an hour, hour and a half, as she shared with me just who Jesus really was, why he died on the cross, and that he was offering me the gift of eternal life. My response to her was, Pam, I go to church. And she said, That's great, Lord. That's something you do. But Jesus is offering something free, a gift. Will you take that gift to be a part of your life? So that night, I did pray and receive Jesus. And he's been a part of my life ever since. And praise the Lord. God is faithful. Praise the Lord for Pam, who said, I'm going to persist because I see someone here that needs to know the Lord. She was my messenger. God asks us to be very present in people's lives so that we can be that messenger of hope to their life. And so as we look at these verses here in Matthew, and we've already read them, if you have them on your cell phone, on your Bible app, or if you have your Bible open, I'd like to just look at these verses for a few minutes. First of all, we want to talk about the compassion of Jesus, okay? So as we read these first verses, what was Jesus doing as he was with the people, okay? When we think of Jesus in these verses, often it comes to mind maybe what we see on the TV or in a movie, that Jesus, you know, wasn't taking Ubers, he wasn't driving, wasn't flying to get around. We often saw him walking and thinking that he's always with people as he went from city to city, town to town. But what was Jesus doing? He was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing, okay? He was with people, and as he was with people, what happened? The verses here said he had compassion on the people. He saw their reality, that they were helpless and needed a shepherd. When we think of Jesus, we know he was fully man, fully God, present here on earth. And yet, he was still moved. I think of him as fully God. I would think he always had compassion, and he does. God has compassion for us. But here's Jesus as he sees the people. He's moved, and he has compassion on them. You know, brothers and sisters, as we are with people, as we're with our family and colleagues, out in the neighborhood, whatever we do day to day, when we are with people, God will touch our hearts and give us compassion. It's not something that automatically happens, though. I know as we are introduced in churches or people ask us in Uruguay, what do you do? Peter sometimes will say we're missionaries, we're pastors. it's easy to think that because we pack up those suitcases and because we go to a faraway place, we have compassion. You know, it doesn't happen that way. We get off the plane, we have those suitcases, we got to unpack our things, we got to open up shop again in our homes and begin life again. And sometimes there's the washing machine that needs to be fixed, the car needs a tune-up, the kids call from far away, they've got their needs. We don't necessarily just have compassion because we go. But as we are with people and you are with people, the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, touches our hearts, and we have compassion. In Uruguay, we stand in a lot of lines. It's not long lines. We stand in the line to go to the bank. We go into the grocery store. Things are not often prepackaged. You can just, you know, whiz by and pick up something and go on your way. You stand in line to get the ham and cheese at the deli counter. You stand in line to get the meat for your asado. And as you're standing in line there, you just see people. You see, you know, they're talking on the phone. You might hear their conversation. You might see how they look. You're thinking about your life, but then sometimes as you are just with people, the Lord just touches your heart and says, pray for that person. Now, when we've been back here in the States, you know, I can easily go by, pick up the meat, pick up the ham and cheese. But I found when I go to Walmart and I got a return, has this happened to you? You stand in line, there's one cashier down there doing this long line of returns. As you stand and you wait, you can get out your cell phone and figure out who's messaged you. But sometimes I do just kind of look around. I'm not always thinking this, but I realize people here have needs too. And maybe I can pray for someone in the line that, you know, maybe they have a need. I can see they're not happy. Or maybe, Lord, just bless these people that are in front of me. God moves in our hearts. We have compassion, but we have to be with the people. And then he moves our hearts to have compassion. Secondly, the harvest is plentiful. In these verses here, it says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so as we are with people and as we go out, sometimes we may look around and we may say, I don't hardly see anyone here that's interested that I can talk to about the Lord. Or it's hard. I've talked to somebody, but they're not really interested. So we continue to pray, but then this is often what happens. As we're with people, and maybe it's been some of the same people all the time, all of a sudden the Lord prompts you and says, talk to that person. Pray for that person. Because what is happening? God sees the harvest field. It is plentiful, but it's a spiritual harvest. You know, in Uruguay and in Ohio, there's harvest times for all these crops. In Ohio, you know, as you drive through all these bean fields, every once in a while, as you get towards August and September, the bean fields no longer are green, they start to turn yellow. And you think, oh, it's turning, the harvest is coming. Now, if you talk to the farmer, he'll say, no, no, the harvest is way down in October. It has to be at this time. Often when we look at our eyes, we look with our eyes to people that we've been praying for, situations, we don't see a harvest. But God says, I see the harvest. It's a spiritual harvest. As you are with people, the Holy Spirit will guide us to where that spiritual harvest is. We just need to trust him and believe. The harvest field is plentiful, but we need to be present and with people, and he will lead us to where that harvest field is. And then thirdly, as we're looking at these verses, the idea of the Lord is saying, I am the Lord of the harvest. And as a church, the Lord is saying to us, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. We encourage our church in Salto that they also need to be praying that the Lord will send out workers. This isn't just one country praying for another country. As believers, wherever we are around the world, we need to be praying, Lord, send out workers into that harvest field. And then as we are praying, Lord, as I am ready to be sent, show me where my harvest field is at, okay? And may we be obedient to go where he's asking us to go. Might be a family member, might be a neighbor, it might be a country far away, it could be another state. I've been encouraged as we've been in churches to hear the pastors where they have been before they've been pastoring here. Many have left home states to come to another state to pastor. God is calling us to be present and obedient to go into that harvest field. But we have to be present. We have to be willing to go and to be present and to be that light and a witness. As Peter and I have been in Uruguay, we've been very thankful for the Lord in these years to be able to be present in the country of Uruguay. And especially in these last 4 years, the Saltos I shared in the Sunday school, to see how God provided for Robert and Joanna to come. And as we were present and waiting, the Lord was still using us and many others to just be present in that harvest field. We've been thankful for the Lord, to the Lord, for his just giving us and encouraging us to be a part of ministry. I'm sure as you've heard other IWs come, often we will share about what we do. We've been present in Uruguay to be part of a church planting ministry, to be teaching, to be discipling. We've been so thankful. But you know, as you think about where the Lord may call you to be present in the ministry he wants you to do, it's easy to think, what if I don't know how to do what the God is asking me to do? I can encourage you through our time as we've served that, you know, when God calls us to the harvest field, wherever it is, the person he wants you to talk to or pray with or whatever he's asking you to do, he always gives you what you need to do what he's asking you to do. We didn't come, we came with books to Uruguay and we came with lots of thoughts and ideas. But in the moment that the Lord began to ask us to disciple, or Peter was preaching, God gave us in those times what he's asking us to do. We don't need to be fearful that we won't know how to do what God's asking us to do. He gives us what he needs through his Holy Spirit. So he's called us to be present in Uruguay to do the ministry. Secondly, he called us to be present in Uruguay to be very much involved in praying for the country and be praying for the pastors and the ministry there. Friday night, as we shared that video, if you think of Uruguay, we have a beautiful coastline. It's not very big. And sometimes when the Argentines come to Uruguay to spend their summer vacation, we'll say, why do you come to Uruguay when, if you think of Argentina, they have this long coastline? And they'll say, well, the water's warmer in Uruguay, and you have white sandy beaches, which we do. North to the Brazil and south to Argentina, they don't have that white sandy beach. And if you could lay on the beach, where are you going to pick a nice white sandy beach? So people come to Uruguay. We have beautiful sandy white beaches. And a lot of people come and spend their vacation. But this is also what you can see on those nice white sandy beaches. Early in the morning, maybe around 10 o'clock, that's early in Uruguay, by the way, especially after you've been up most of the night to eating that asado. You can walk along these beaches. Peter and I would take our mugs of coffee. Sometimes we'd walk along the beach. And pretty quiet, pretty calm. Some people were in the water, but you come along this on these nice white sandy beaches. And here, what is what you see? You'll see a dead chicken, feathers and all, laying there, and around that chicken are these little candles that have been burnt to stubs. And so what's happened here? During the night, while we've been sleeping, Uruguayans gather together, and many of them spend the night, and they're worshiping the sun goddess that is worshiped in Uruguay. And this is a part of their culture, but they're worshiping someone that is not a true god. And so this influence is very strong in our country. We don't feel persecuted in any way to share the gospel. But if you've ever been in a situation where there's other worship of other gods going on, you can feel a heaviness. And that heaviness is often in, we feel that in Uruguay at times. Some pastors at times will text us. They have a message group around the country. And they'll text us and they'll say, well, this morning, this was on my doorstep, and they talk about the dead chicken that's on their doorstep. They don't feel threatened, but they know that there's a influence in their city and in their town. As Peter shared that night in that town there on Friday night in Tranqueras, there was a lot of prayer going on that there would be breaking through of this heaviness in that town. So we come together in Uruguay to pray with the pastors, to pray against this influence. Thank you for joining us in prayer. And we've come together just in the church itself to pray with the brothers and sisters that they will grow, the importance of being together to pray. Then lastly, we've been in Uruguay just to be a presence of God's presence. You know, in 2 Corinthians, it talks about we have this treasure in jars of clay. And what is that treasure? It's the presence of Jesus Christ. Peter and I sometimes will joke with each other that our jars of clay are getting a few more cracks, okay, as we get older. But what has not changed? The presence of Jesus Christ in each one of our lives. And you may at times think, what can I do or what am I doing? It seems like I'm hardly able to do anything for the Lord because it's not easy. But can you imagine if you were not present where you are, sharing Jesus or even praying, there would be no presence of Christ if you were not there. Your one presence makes a great difference, even if you feel like you're not doing much for the Lord, because we carry that presence of Christ. And as we are present with people, they are seeing that light or sensing something different, even if we don't think we're making much of a difference. So in our little town there in Salto, as we were packing up to leave last May, one of the important things in Uruguay is you go to leave, you always need to say goodbye to everyone. Now at our church there in Salto, that was easy to say goodbye. They had a big farewell. But we were looking for ways to also say goodbye to some of our neighbors. And in Uruguay, in the center of town, you live right next door to your neighbor. You walk out, you share common cement walls, so you walk out your little front gate, and as you turn to the right, you can practically touch the bars of the gate of your neighbor, okay? There's no grass, no yard, but you have a common sidewalk, and so our neighbor next to us was Mima, is her name. Older lady, widowed, she had a white dog named Blanca that always stuck its head out through the gate, and I'd pat Blanca. I'd often see Mima sweeping her front walk as we'd go up and down the street to go get groceries or something. Over these years, Mima was always outside sweeping her walk because you're always supposed to keep your front sidewalk clean. I didn't do that great a job. I'd say hi to Mima. We'd talk a little bit. She always kind of had this one theme in her conversation, and it was this: why don't my neighbors, who live just a little bit up the street from me, sweep their walk and keep it clean so that the wind doesn't always blow all their garbage down into my walk? And she'd have to go out and sweep, sweep, sweep. I looked down at my walk thinking, ah, I haven't swept today. I'm sure I'm adding to your garbage. There's litter, there's leftover garbage. It's just something you sweep up, put in a bag. Every day she's out sweeping. Most days I go out, say hi to her, talk about sweeping. She go on her way, I go on my way. We're getting ready to leave. We're inside our house cleaning up the very last things as we're packing up. Our landlord's coming to inspect the house in a couple hours. And Peter calls me out and he says, Mima's outside, we need to say goodbye to her. I go outside and I'm kind of grubby, dirty. She's sweeping, of course. And we say, Mima, we're here to say goodbye. She knew we were going to leave and everything, so it wasn't a surprise to her. But she looks at me and she says, Laura, all this time we've been together, I've never shown you the inside of my home. And I'm thinking, that's right, Mima, you haven't shown me the inside of your home. I don't have time today. But Peter looked at me and he kind of gave me this look, we're going inside, Laura. So we went inside, we saw our home, we talked for a few minutes. And I began to realize, and Peter caught on to this too, she wasn't talking anymore about sweeping. She's talking about her family. She's talking about her life, how she lived alone. Not many people visited. And then she said this, you guys have been such good neighbors. You've been so friendly to me. I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm all alone and there's no neighbors like you next door. And I'm thinking, all I did, Mima, was talk to you about sweeping and hi and pet your dog and on we went. Never went inside your home. Peter grabbed onto this moment and he said, Mima, we are leaving. And we don't know who's coming in next, but I know someone who will always be with you. His name is Jesus. Peter shared quickly with her who Jesus was and what it meant to have Jesus a part of her life. And Peter knew we didn't have a lot of time. He said, Mima, could we pray? Mima looked at us and she said, me pray? Peter said, no. I'll pray, you listen, let's pray together. Peter prayed, he prayed a blessing over her life, and he prayed that she would understand who Jesus was and what it meant to have him as her Lord and Savior. We finished praying. Mima looked at Peter, kind of put his finger in her face, and she said, I believe what you prayed. Praise the Lord. There was the mission field. There was the harvest. There was the moment. There was God saying, take it, be present, and pray with her. And God brought the harvest. So, brothers and sisters, as we are present, God is working. May we have the compassion, maybe be willing to go, and believe that God will use your light to be a witness to those around us that need to know him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we so rejoice in the day of our salvation. Thank you for bringing people into our lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit working in our hearts. And thank you for that day of salvation. Lord, we desire to see your kingdom come wherever we are living. May we have hearts of compassion, willing hearts to believe that you are working, and willing hearts filled with your love and compassion to share your love with others around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
One of my favorite bits of trivia, as it were, one of things that I noticed about Matthew chapter 9, that section, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest fields. One of my favorite details is that there's not really meant to be a break, by the way, between 9:38 and chapter 10, verse 1. If you look in the original copies of Matthew, there's no chapter breaks in Matthew. Those were added later so that we could all be on the same page. But if you keep reading, as you're meant to keep reading from one verse to the next, immediately after Jesus has his disciples pray that the Lord send out workers into the harvest field, he says, now you're going. Two by two, Jesus sends his disciples. And I know that maybe that puts a little bit of fear into our hearts. If I start praying, asking the Lord to send out workers into the harvest field, is he going to send me? The answer is yes, he already has, because if we are part of the church of Jesus Christ, he has sent us already, collectively. So we have an individual and a corporate responsibility to send the gospel. Now, I may not be called to Mozambique. You may not be called to India. We may spend the next three decades here in this place. But we are called to this place, if that is the case. So let's have the compassion of Jesus. The harvest is still plentiful, even right here. If everyone just in this township that we sit in, Watts Township, if everyone here decided one Sunday morning, hey, let's go to church, there would not be enough seats in church in this township for a third of them. Think about that. The harvest is still plentiful. The workers are still few. Pray, therefore. Do we pray? We should. Let us renew our commitment to pray that the workers go out, because we still have a story to tell to the nations. And that story is Jesus.